Jesus. Thank you. All right. Now we can open our eyes. Just want to celebrate Jesus in this place. Amen. All right. I pray that every one of us ready to receive the Word of God. It's such an awesome message this morning, and I hope the power, the manifestations of the presence of God will be even more amplified in this place, because I know it's not just for the people around here, but it's also for the people online. Thank you for the worship team. Such a wonderful time. Just want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It's so wonderful to see a lot of people, to see all of you in this place again in person, and to those of you who are at home online. I hope you all have a wonderful celebration. Anybody here that's eating turkey, like kind of like American-style turkey with gravy? Or are you guys all going through dim sum, because that's the only place that was open on Thursday? Obviously, I did not cook for turkey. I end up buying a dim sum just for lunch and dinner. But yeah, it was such a good time to be able to eat with our family. And for those of you who just returned from a trip like myself last week, welcome back. Welcome back to church. And hopefully you guys have a wonderful time with your family. Let me fix this one a little bit. There you go. All right. So, Thanksgiving. Such a kind of unique holiday. You want to call it holiday or time of celebration to all of us as a Christians. What Thanksgiving always reminds me is that we're really near the end of the year for 2021. And obviously, this particular year is kind of unique, like last year, is that we are entering the end of the second year when we were all under the COVID-19 pandemic. When I was preparing this message, I was about to share, guys, the light is at the end of the tunnel, right? We are all, the government knows how to deal with this. Vaccine is already out there. Everybody kind of have their own the new normal, wearing masks all the time, sanitize your hand like hundreds of times every day. For me, I always take shower. Every time I go to any indoor building, grocery stores or whatever it is, at home I have to always take shower. So that has been kind of my thing. And I was about to say, guys, the light is really at the end of the tunnel. But I don't know if some of you have been following the news lately. There's a new variant. They call the variant of concern because of the way it transmits, that's really fast. And they say the symptom was kind of dangerous. It's coming from Africa. And a lot of countries are now locked down again. A few countries in Europe that I know of have gone through maybe the third and fourth and the fifth wave of the outbreak. So this past 2 years has been quite interesting to all of us, because there's a lot of tough stories and tough experiences that we kind of went through as an individual, as a family, as a church, because of all the stuff that's taking place and all the change of behavior that has taken place, right? And some of you probably have experienced some great loss of family members. Some of you probably have gone through or know a person who has contracted the virus, got sick for quite some time. I heard it was pretty bad. And a lot of us, I'm pretty sure 100% all of us, are impacted by this pandemic one way or the other. It's just depending on the severity and how bad it's really impacting our life. What I'm trying to say is that this is the second year, and as much as I want to show you, like, oh, wow, guys, there is the light at the end of the tunnel, this news certainly kind of give another twist in our walk in this pandemic. Nobody knows what the future is going to look like. And as much as we are so concerned, I just want to encourage you guys that let's not live in fear, but let's take this opportunity to continue to stay vigilant, continue to keep doing our best routine to the best that we can to protect our health, to protect the health of our family. Continue, don't be complacent, basically, right? a lot of people start getting relaxed, basically, right? Some of you probably travel. I went to Maui, Hawaii last week. We were in the elevator. The elevator says only two people in the elevator or one family at a time. We were waiting in line for the elevator. And when it comes our turn, people want to come in and rush through everything because people have been waiting for so long. And people are saying, I'm wearing a mask, whatever, right? They say, some of them wearing a mask, some of them that didn't wear the mask, they just want to go in because they just want to be somewhere very quickly. And people getting complacent. And sometimes we also getting complacent too. But again, I encourage you, do not live in fear, but just keep up your best practices so that we together, as a church, as a corporate body of Christ, can celebrate God in this place. If we are complacent, if we put ourselves at risk out there, then we probably cannot be celebrating Jesus in this building together as one body. So let's do our best, because what we're doing right now here, being in the same building, worshiping God together, two or three people gather in Jesus' name, and we know that God is here. We are experiencing His presence. That's such a golden chance, golden opportunity. Because who knows, this Omicron or whatever that you call them now might be the next wave, right? And maybe the government will tell us we should not do any more indoor service. So this is actually already a blessing. This is actually a God's blessing that we were still able to still in this building together to worship Him. So let's do our best to stay vigilant and make sure that we take care of each other. So 2 years ago, exactly on Thanksgiving in 2019, I actually happened to be standing in the same platform over here, sharing the word of God about Thanksgiving. So when I was preparing for this message, I looked back to my archive, to my notes about what exactly did I share back in 2019. When I look back to the notes that I had, it was such a prophetic words that if we took heed or listened to it and really practice it and just take it to our heart, I think it would really help us preparing for the COVID that was about to happen about a month or 2 months after that. So November 9, 2019, COVID started January 2020. So it was such a profound prophetic message that even I didn't even remember until a few weeks ago when I was preparing for this. And I was like, such a powerful word that if we actually take heed of that, I think we are going to be a lot better in handling pandemic individually and as a family and as a body of Christ. And anybody here want to take a stab what I shared 2 years ago? If you can remember it, I'll give you something special. Yeah, anybody want to take a chance? Anybody remember what Pastor Sugi shared last week? Yeah, I'm sure you guys remember, and I'm sure you remember 2 years ago what I shared. 2 years ago, exactly on Thanksgiving week, I shared the message, and I titled it Different Kind of Thankfulness. Different Kind of Thankfulness. And it says over here, our thankfulness should not be a response to the ongoing circumstances or situations around us. Instead, it ought to be the reflections of our new perceptions of the future and conviction of what is hoped for. So if you kind of put that in the context of COVID, this is, again, before COVID, a month or 2 months before COVID, God is already reminding us, preparing us that we need to be thankful, not because things are going well in our life, but regardless, whether it's going bad or going good, we always need to be thankful to God. And our thankfulness, we're doing that because we have a perception of the future and conviction of what is hoped for the future, right? Anybody here that ever hope something worse to happen in your life in the future? I don't think so. Any normal person would hope for something that is good or better for the future. If you are parents, you would want your kids to be much better off compared to what you are today, right? educations wise, you want them to get the better educations compared to your own educations. Financially, you want them to be much more stable than from where you are today. If you're a student, you're not gonna spend day and night to study hoping that tomorrow you'll just get a C, right? You're studying really hard because you're hoping, you're putting your faith that if I'm doing my work, my best practice today, that I can actually do the test the best that I can, and I can get the best grade that I can get. For those of you who are getting married, some of you are gonna get married in December or January, you are hoping, you are praying that your marriage will last for the life of you, right? For the lifetime. Not like for a few months, for like a few days, for like a Kim Son Ho ex-girlfriend that, you know, only married for a few days, right? You want your life, your marriage to last for long. Everybody here have a hope for something good or something better for the future, right? So that's what happened. God is asking us, or reminding us, is that we need to continue to be thankful and hopeful because God has placed us in a place where He called every one of us with a specific purpose. And He's just not going to call you any Christians, any follower of Christ for nothing, just wasting oxygen on earth. He's asking us because we all have a purpose. We all have a calling in our life. Amen? So that's why we need to be thankful that we're still here. We're still relatively safe, we're relatively healthy, because God has a purpose for every one of us. When our purpose is done, I think we're going to be meeting Jesus already in heaven, right? Amen? So, but by saying about thankfulness, I'm not necessarily discounting or dismissing the fact that sometimes when we go through some bad experience, that we have emotional toll. Emotional experience, right? When you go through some difficulties in your life, it is perfectly okay that you're sad, you feel grievance, you feel emotionally unstable, right? Because it is what it is. We are responding to the situations, right? But again, God is saying that that's perfectly okay for you to feel the sadness in you, but then always have the thankfulness, because thankfulness is not about emotional response. Thankfulness is about your decisions, the actions, and what I say over here is a process manifestations of your attitude in the midst of your circumstances. Again, because of what? Because as a Christians, we have the hope and faith in God the Father in Christ Jesus that our future will be better than today, right? Amen? And I'm not saying this just for the good feeling, okay? It's actually very biblical. You know, if you open with me the book of John, chapter 16, 20 to 24. I think I have it here. All right. So this is actually some of the last message that Jesus gave to his disciples. So John 16 is, I think, a few chapters before Jesus went through the crucifixions. So usually when somebody is dying, and when they give you some messages, you really want to pay attention to it, right? You really want to listen carefully about what he or she wants, all the messages, all the requests that he or she probably give or ask of us, right? And same thing over here. This is our kind of the last days of Jesus with the disciple. And he's preparing to the disciples. And this is what he says. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets all the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. And your joy will be complete. And verse 33, at the end, Jesus said to his disciples, I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So this verse really become the foundation of what I just mentioned to you, is that Jesus never say, don't be sad. If you know me, do not cry. Don't be sad. Don't grieve. In actuality, Jesus says, you will experience those things. You will weep. You will mourn. Because he knows that sometimes life will throw you some challenges, some difficulties, some grievance that just may affect you physically, maybe with sickness, death in the family member, emotionally, when you're probably in a relationship issue, maybe you're probably too stressed at work, or spiritually, with all the challenges that we have spiritually about how we can gather corporately to worship God, and about what are going to be the next season for our church and for your personal spiritual life. Jesus knows that one of those days, this is the time that he said, this is the time that you will, what did he say? Now is your time of grief. He knows that certain times we will have to grieve. But he also mentioned that one day, your grief will turn to joy. You are now in pain, but Jesus says, one day you will rejoice as well. And he said that when you receive your joy, it's not just a normal joy. He said a joy that even no one or nothing would take away your joy. It will not rob you again from your happiness. He said that you will be so joyful that you no longer ask for anything. Anybody here can think about like when you're so happy that you don't want anything else? No more pain, no more hunger, no more cold or hot. Nothing from your mouth complains about anything because you're so joyful about the gift of God, the gift that God wants to give to you, right? But he said that he understand. He said that right now is the time for you to grieve. This is the time that things are just happening in this world that just make you sad. He said that, look, but soon you will experience this joy. But in the meantime, he said that he understand that. He said, if as you're going through your pain and your suffering, your struggle, he said that I encourage you to ask to God. Ask in Jesus' name. And you shall receive. When I say ask, you know, it's not like about, oh God, I'm so stressed right now. My exam is tomorrow. I really want to get an A+. Give me an A+, so I'll just go sleep today. No, it does not work like that, right? If we need to ask according to God's will, we're not asking something about ourselves, but we need to ask about, God, give me your joy. I don't know what's going on. I want to surrender everything. But God, I want to get your peace. I want to get your joy in Jesus' name. And he says that you will have peace. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. Book of Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. When somebody is at peace, they're not anxious about anything. Even though something is just go completely wrong, everywhere around them. Like this morning, we have one of the church member have their pipe burst in their house. The whole house is flooded. How much worry is that? I think that's a lot of worry. But Jesus tell us today that when you have the peace, you're not going to be anxious about anything. But he said, in every situations, he said, in every situations, it's not like only in the good situations that you will do this. Only in the bad situation you do this. No, he says, do not be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with the thanksgiving, present your request to God. Right? So when you are going through all this emotional struggle and suffering that you have, Jesus, God says that do not be anxious, because you can still pray and petitions to God with the thanksgiving. Why we have thanksgiving? Because again, we know that we have a renewed perception of the future. We know that we still have hope in Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Anybody here have got the definition of transcends? I kind of know what it is, but I never get to the actual definition of what transcends means. So I looked it up yesterday. The word transcends means Something that is just beyond the limit of your physical reasoning. Okay? It says over here, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. So you've known physically, you probably learned physics, you learned all kinds of stuff, you learn about financial, you learn about things. You kind of know like, okay, if I have this problem, these are the things that I want to do, A, B, C, D, and E, and F, right? So you kind of already have a plan, but you still kind of feel bad about it. But God's peace, when you petition your suffering to God and with the thanksgiving, God is promising that he's going to give us the peace that just go beyond A, B, C, D to F, even take it more than what you can think of. It's like it's already beyond your reasonable mind that God already knows and prepare something that's joyful for you. What it means is that you don't, yes, deal with your situations, but again, don't lose your perceptions of like God actually knows the best. God knows our future. And our future with him is always good. It's never been bad. Amen? And because of that, this 2019 message, different kind of thankfulness, it says, it does not matter what our circumstances is. We need to be thankful because we have the means. God allow us to meet the means to be able to deal with it and continue to have the thankfulness attitude. Because it's all about our perceptions that he's going to help us, he's going to deliver us, and he's going to get us out of our trouble. And we know one day we will have the joy that is everlasting, that nothing and no one can take away that from us. Amen? So that's 2019 message. I kind of went through half of our sermon today. Should I stop here or should I continue? That's a powerful message, by the way. So I've been thinking about it. It was like, wow, such a profound message. I'm like, this is enough for me to say, you know what? I'm ready to continue. Omicron, whatever next thing, whatever, I'm ready, right? Because it does not matter what COVID variant it is. We know that we have God. And God is more powerful than any COVID variants out there. So why do we have to be worried, right? Why do we have to be worried? We just need to do our best, and we surrender everything to God, right? But I kind of want to give you a little bit more message because it was really profound, really prophetic back then. And I want to kind of like, hey, what can I give you this time for the year of 2021 as we are closing this year? And I titled this, before 2019, it was a different kind of thankfulness. 2021, the way I titled it is a new perspective of thankfulness. So what is it that the message that I want to share to you today? So I've been thinking about it. I usually start like preparing my message two weeks in advance. So I've been thinking about it. And again, I mentioned I was in Maui, having a vacations in Hawaii. I did spend some time reflecting about these words, thankfulness. And just to kind of give you a little bit of context, usually when we are all in vacations, we all feel really relaxed, right? Just, wow, I have so much time just for ourselves, enjoying the scenery, enjoying the new environment. Just hotel, eat, sleep, hotel, sleep, eat, hotel, sleep, eat, hotel, sleep until we come back home, right? So it's all like that. So it's always, we all have a good anticipation for me, for my family about this trip. But then this trip turns out to be kind of a bittersweet travel for us because our family, some of you probably know, that we kind of went through some transitions in the last 2 months. And we as a family my wife and I haven't really kind of settled down exactly on how we want to prepare about this and what are the things that we want to do. So there's always things that's looming in our head, like, you know, just make us worry. You know, again, the stuff that's happening around us and really affect us, right? Really affect us, and emotionally we're just like, you know, how do we deal with this? And so certainly this trip hasn't been like the full vacations, quote-unquote vacations for us. Right, so and then Yuli, my wife, has to kind of take some time away from our planned trip. So we kind of have to change a little bit because of that. So she has to step away, and I get to spend more time with the kids. Just take them to the swimming pool and just enjoy the water. And then I start thinking about the word of thankfulness. And I this trip. So because of that, this trip hasn't been like really, really, you know, just full blast vacations. And I start thinking about thankfulness, and I'm like, what am I going to share, right, about thankfulness? I said, you know what, let me just jot down, maybe just to help you get started, like, let me jot down the things that I want to be thankful from this trip. So I start jotting down, like, the thing that I'm thankful for. And here's my list. of thankfulness. It's probably pretty difficult, but it's okay. Seven things that I can write down while on the side of the swimming pool. I look at my Fitbit. I said, "Oh wow!" 2 days ago, at the time, I did the most walk within one day for the year of 2021. Okay, and that step is 9,250 steps, and you know that's nothing for some of you guys, but that's a record for me, 2021. I said, I get to enjoy the sun under 70, low 80 weather, right? It's very nice. It's just nice, low humidity. I got to spend a lot of time. I think I got all my natural vitamin D quota for that day, right, for the year. I get the most exercise. Every single day, my kids just want to have swimming, so I went swim with them just every day, either in the ocean or the swimming pool. I just got to exercise a little bit. I get connected to the nature. We went to the oceans, dip our feet in the sands, in the water, climb some mountains, see animals. We saw flamingo. We fed the fish. We see turtles. You know, we see all kinds of plants. We saw the sunset in the 10,000 feet elevations. There's a place in Maui where you can see the sunset. I have the picture over there. Play with the kids uninterrupted. I enjoy a lot of good food. And, oh, something's missing there. I said I took nap almost daily throughout that trip. So those are my thankfulness. Oh, I got to do, I can do a nap, I can do this. And I start thinking, I look at my list, and I'm like, and probably you start questioning yourself, like, well, you can actually do this while you're in California, right? There's nothing special about what I'm doing. These are all the mundane things that I can actually do it in the nice weather of California. Right? I can get the sun because it's always 70 here. You know, I can do my walk. Anytime I choose, I want to exercise. You know, Eric likes to bike. I can just hop on, you know, his bike plan. I can get some exercise. I can also see the sunset somewhere over here. It doesn't really require me to go to Maui. If I want to have some good food, there's so many good food around here, right? And so as you can see here, I listed down everything that is just normal, mundane things. But then I'm asking myself, why am I saying I'm thankful? After spending so much money flying to Maui, spending so much money booking the resort, and just do the mundane things, and I say, I'm thankful. Why can I not say I'm thankful if I can do this back home in the comfort of my own surrounding? I start thinking about it. And it is, there's a new revelation to me that, at least it's for me, okay? That I'm naturally so oblivious of the daily blessings that is available for me every single day in my life. And I'm just so narrow focused on the things that I want to pay, I want to do, I want to achieve in order to say, yes, God, because I can go to Maui and do this, then I am thankful. If I can do this in San Ramon or in Pinal, I may not be as 100%. I'm not going to be as thankful as I was back in Maui. That was just me. That's like, I'm so oblivious that, you know, these are the things that I can do. Why am I saying I'm thankful? Well, I can have it in Maui. Of course, the scenery is nice, but I can also be thankful while I'm here as well, right? So probably some of you start thinking about it. Same thing, like, have we been thankful daily about the stuff that is happening in our life? Maybe let me help you with a few things. Maybe raise your hand. How many wake up today and thankful that you can still open your eyes and breathe, stand up, and go brush your teeth? Anybody say, wake up, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus? Probably not, right? Probably not. We just take that, the fact that we just awake, that's already a blessing. But we just took it for granted that we know that tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up. But our life, nobody knows, right? Right? So we need to be thankful. How many of you are so thankful that when you get it ready to church, you want to take shower, you turn on the hot water runs? Anybody ever think about that one? That the hot water is available at instantly as you please. You know, when our family came back from Hawaii, we arrived 11:30 p.m., okay, very late, midnight. My wife is adamant. Again, you're outside, you're coming home, you got to take a shower. It does not matter what time it is. The kids, also grumpy. The kids already sleep in the car. We wake them up. I said, kids, let's go. Mom says you gotta take shower. All right, we just basically remove all their clothes. It's so cold. 11:30, like last week, it was so cold. The kids were like shivering. And I said, okay, wait. I'll just turn on the hot water. And amazingly, the hot water did not come out. Come on. Something broke in my water heater on that day when we really needed 11:30. I mean, who can I call so that I can take them to take shower? There's no place. Everybody's already asleep. 11:30 in the evening, after we come back tired from our trip, there's no running hot water at home. It turns out our water heater broke, so I got to fix it the next day. But then the fact that it's not available and I have to go fix it the next day, go buy the parts, go in multiple stores, trying to figure out, is this the cable? Is it the thermocouple? Is the controller? Eventually, I got to spend like a few $100, and I tore up the whole water heater, and I fixed it, and then it works again. I said, oh, God, thank you for the hot water. Why does it have to require me to go through all those pain and get something that is normally available to say I'm thankful? Why can I not just say I'm thankful that today my hot water is still working? This is all of us. That's all of us. We take so many things in our life for granted. How many of you say thank you to God because you put in your key, you turn the car decides to turn on and just want to walk for you? If the car just have their own mind and say, you know what, I'm gonna pull a prank on you. I'm just not gonna turn on today. I'm just gonna let my battery die today, right? Or you just happen to have your battery just dead, right? And you try to crank the car does not want to turn on. It's such an inconvenience. We took our cars for granted. We never give God the glory and thanks that, oh, our car decided that it's just gonna run today, right? How many of you, today is the last day of the Thanksgiving week, you've had such an amazing break that tomorrow, who feels, tomorrow is a working Monday again after a long break? Who did that, right? I did that. Why? Because we took our job for granted. We're like, you know, it's much better for me to complain about the work tomorrow that I'm thankful that I still have a job versus somebody who does not have a job tomorrow. Right? So that's kind of like changing the perspective. At least for me, it changed my perspective a little bit about thankfulness. And I kind of want to share that with you here. These are the second nuggets that I want to share to you is that we should be giving thanks for the very things that we do not have to struggle, for the very things that we don't have to fight for. Yet, our naturally, we just want to focus and just work really hard for the things that we want, that we don't have yet. But we work really hard, fix it, pay for it, got to go through all the hassles. Who knows, going to Hawaii is such a pain in the butt. QR code here, testing here, vaccination card here, whatever. It's such a painful not to travel. But why do we focus on like giving ourselves a hassle, overcome the hassle in order for us to say thankful? Thank you. We need to start disciplining ourselves so that we always need to give thanks daily for the things that we don't have to fight for, that is always available every single day. Our health, our car, maybe our family, right? When they're around, I mean, you're blessed because they're still around. They may not be around anymore, right? And this is the reason why I want to leave you with this, is that we kind of have to change our perspective a little bit about this thankfulness. Yes, it's about future, but at the same time, we also have a lot of blessing that we experience every day in our life, and we just need to be sensitive about it. We just need to say, you know, if this thing does not work, then I'm going to be in big trouble. I'm thankful that this thing happens. This thing still works today. Whatever it is, right? And I kind of learned that from King David, because I was basically kind of studying myself the book of 2 Samuel, and I kind of went through the story of David and how he was kind of like the youngest son of the Jesse family, not our Jesse over there, but the Jesse family, and he was given the most unpopular task. You know, all his brothers are like an officer in the kingdom, in the palace, and David was just kind of like the guy that take care of the sheep and the cattle of the family, right? So it's kind of like non-popular. Who's here like at the time maybe, right? When you have a girl looking for a boyfriend, of course they're going to look for the people with the uniform, right? Looks cool, you know, very handsome, very muscular. And who's looking for a shepherd, right? They're just like, you know, sitting and sleeping in the paddy field and looking at the cattle. So David started his life as someone who's nothing, right? And an opportunity was given by God that he was able to fight the Goliath, and he just got famous. He got transferred to the palace. He keep on winning wars for Saul, the King Saul at the time. Just keep winning war after war after war after war. And then now, basically, he's from maybe the officer to lieutenant, lieutenant to colonel, colonel to captain, captain to whatever. Like he became a major general, basically. He's just a big name in the kingdom of Saul. To the point where people actually favor David more than Saul, because he say, man, every time David go out to the war, he's always going to bring us victory. He's keeping our country, our kingdom safe. Everybody just say, oh, you know, hooray to David, you know, whatever. So David becomes so famous that King Saul feels threatened. That, wow, the citizens now favor David more than they favor the king himself. So Saul start propping a plan to kill David. So imagine from someone that is very low, right, to go to a big guy in the kingdom, maybe at the comfort of the palace, always have food available to him, right? A lot of guards, you know, protecting him, to the point where now even the king himself looking after to kill him. So David had to run away from King Saul. So imagine you are now from nothing, from regular citizens to become a prominent general, and from prominent general you become the enemy of the states. Do you think David would prefer to be a shepherd, like nobody's bothering him? Probably yes. But he was running away. He was running away from Saul because Saul just wanted to kill him. So as you can see here, David became the enemy of the state. Everywhere he goes, he was worried, like, if I'm going to talk to someone, is this guy loyal to Saul, or is he favoring me? So every single time, he has to make sure nobody's following him. He cannot live in any hotel. Imagine, right? He cannot live in any hotel. He cannot go to any McDonald's. He kind of have to kind of go, just find a way so that wherever he goes, he will not be tracked. That's the life of David. And that's the life of David that is full of suffering. And if any one of us say that, you know what, I want to complain today, I think David has more rights. Maybe he probably in the order of the top of the list people who complain to God. Like, he probably should be the one that God should listen to and should address first, right? Because David was just, for no reason, it's not his fault that the king Saul, try to pursue and kill him. And he just run away so that he may stay alive. And I can say David has more rights to basically, you know, complain. But instead, in that pursuit, in that process of being running away, just full of worry, full of anxious anxiety and everything, David was still able to create a psalm. And that's Psalm 103. Such a nice and wonderful psalm. And again, in the midst of his chaotic life, he can say this in his psalm. He said, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Actually, let me read this one from here. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Psalm 103. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good thing he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we have never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear / worship him. His salvation extends to the children of children of those. Sorry, his salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, your angels, you mighty ones, carry out his plans, listening for each of his command. Yes, praise the Lord, your armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. So, as you can see here, David has the right perspective of being thankfulness. Despite of everything that is going around him, he said that I am still going to give God my thankfulness, my praises, because he is the God that I worship, that forgives me, that redeems my life, that satisfies my desires. My God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us like a criminal or repay us according to our sin. As a father, he has a compassion for his children, and he has a compassion for those who worship him. Lord's love is with those who worship him, and his righteousness is with the children's children. So David got this concept correct. Despite of every single thing, he said that it does not matter. What matters is that I have a God that is so gracious, merciful, and full of love towards me. And same thing with all of us. We need to start counting our blessing daily. We need to start thinking about, yes, I'm thankful for everything that's working today. But even beyond that, I'm thankful because I know a God that knows my future, that has given me purpose, that loved me so much, that is compassionate towards me, that is so graceful and so merciful to me, that I can live my life blameless. Amen? So we need to learn to be like David. And I want to close with this. And I kind of combine the message of thanksgiving to you. It says, thankfulness should not be a response to the ongoing circumstances around us. Instead, our thanksgiving should always be proclaimed in our hearts, in our lips, for the grace, compassion, and mercy that God has bestowed upon us. Thankfulness is your manifestation of the act to our renewed perceptions of the future and convictions of receiving something that is faith that we have not yet received today. Amen. And I just want to empower all of you that this year is going to be special. Next year is going to be even more special. And if you just listen to this word of God, he is reminding all of us that we need to have the right attitude. Regardless of our circumstances, despite of all the struggle and suffering that we have right now, we need to choose and discipline our life to worship him. Because he deserves our praise and worship. And because God has planned so many things for our future, for you and me, that he deserves our gratitude and our thankfulness. And it is our part to change our perspective, to do not take things for granted. And every single time, every single day, we give thanks to the Lord for every single thing that we can enjoy until today. Because you're in it already blessed so much, that people probably say, I would love to be in your place. God has blessed us so much, and it is time for us to give our thanks back to him. Have the right attitude, have the right mindset that he deserves all the glory because he has done so many things for all of us. And I pray that this message of thanksgiving just go to every one of us, that we try to discipline ourselves to learn to give thanks to the Lord for such an amazing blessing that we have experienced today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Such an awesome God that you call us our children, that you have prepared a wonderful heir, inheritance in heaven that doesn't really require of us to do anything, that you have prepared for us in the heaven. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the future full of hope, full of good promises, that we know we are in good hands with you. And Lord, help us so we take this message, we built it into our mindset, in our attitude, in our way of living, so that we can also be a blessing to others. We can be a channel of blessing for the good news that you want us to share to other people, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful Thanksgiving. We appreciate, we are so thankful for the time that we can enjoy our time with the family, we can relax, that we can just think about all the good stuff, all the good blessing that you have given in our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that none of us will take our life for granted, because Lord, it's already a blessing. Everything else is just an extra. When we seek you and your kingdom first, everything else will be given to us. All the good stuff will be given to us. Your promises will be made realized in our life, Jesus. Lord, help us so we can always seek you first. We do not look for any other thing, not any materialistic thing, but Lord, help us so we orient our heart, we orient our attitude and our behavior towards you. We want to be more and more like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I pray that this message coming into our life, deeply rooted in our life, in our heart, and change us from inside out. No one leaving this place, no one after listening to this message will become the same person as they were just now. And I pray that you will change every heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just want to bless everyone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.